Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, September 9th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
the Biden administration reportedly plans to sue Texas over its abortion law.
The White House prepares a new strategy to tackle the pandemic.
Stocks in Asia drop as the regulatory crackdown continues in China.
And two more Fed officials call for tapering as soon as this year.
It's what the storm-ravaged tri-state area does not need. More rain, plus a prison sentence for a former member of the Nixium cult-like group. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshower in sports. Another Yankee loss to the Blue Jays. The Mets lost in Miami. And Novak Djokovic is into the semifinals at the U.S. Open.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Interactive Brokers. IBKR charges margin loan rates from 0.75% to 1.59%. Rates subject to change. Learn more at ibkr.com/compare.
And U.S. futures are falling on this Thursday morning, 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 11 points, Dow futures down 76, NASDAQ futures down 32. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.3%. So is the CAC in Paris. And the FTSE 100 down 1.1%. The 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 1.32%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.21%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.2% or 13 cents at $69.43 a barrel, and COMEX gold is up 0.2% at $17.97 an ounce. Nathan.
Okay, Karen, we'll have more on markets in a minute. First, the latest on that new abortion law in Texas. There's word the Biden administration's preparing to sue over the measure. Amy Morris has the latest from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
The Justice Department could file a lawsuit as early as today. Sources tell the Wall Street Journal the timing could be pushed back. But the Supreme Court has already allowed the restrictions to take effect. Attorney General Merrick Garland says the Justice Department is exploring all of its options. Legal experts warn that because this new law puts enforcement in the hands of private citizens, that makes it harder for the federal government to successfully sue. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Amy, thank you. The president is also unveiling a new plan today to tackle the pandemic. For the latest on that, we're joined live by Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. President Biden will introduce a new set of COVID-19 rules to battle the Delta variant and boost vaccinations across the country. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki says the six-pronged strategy will include testing and mandates that depend on vaccination status. And some of those mandates will be related to ensuring kids are protected in schools. Meantime, hospitalizations have seen some of the highest increases in Alaska and Hawaii. And in southern states like Florida, funeral homes are struggling to operate with the rise in COVID-19 deaths. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. Meantime, corporate vaccine policies show a stark divide over employer mandates. Bloomberg News surveyed more than 100 big companies. About half have implemented a vaccine mandate for at least some of their U.S. staff. Still, the requirements vary widely.
Well, Nathan, working from home has taken a toll on some people's skills. That's according to a new survey from the U.K. And for details, we're joined by Bloomberg's Ewan Potts in London. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. Have we forgotten how to chat at work? 84% of young people in a UK survey say they feel out of practice when it comes to office life, and that includes speaking to clients and delivering presentations. The research from LinkedIn also found that 9 in 10 bosses think young people's professional development has been affected by the pandemic. Just over half of them say they're going to boost spending on social events to help with the problem. In London, hanging out by the water cooler, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ewan, thank you. Turning to markets now, traders are looking to the European Central Bank today. Policymakers will have to decide whether the economic recovery is strong enough to warrant an imminent slowdown in monetary stimulus. And that policy decision comes at 7:45 a.m. Wall Street time.
And Nathan, growth concerns and China's regulatory crackdown sent stocks lower in Asia overnight. The MSCI Asia Pacific Index had its biggest slide in 3 weeks. Let's go to Singapore and get the recap with Bloomberg's Juliette Sally. Good morning, Juliette.
Good morning, Karen. Gaming stocks fell in Hong Kong as Chinese regulators summoned companies including NetEase and Tencent to discuss further oversight of the industry and the need to de-emphasize profits. The Hang Seng Tech Index dropped the most since July. The Kospi also slid as internet giants Kakao and Naver tumbled in what appears to be a Korean echo of China's tech clampdown. In Tokyo, the Nikkei 225 closed down 0.6% as a state of emergency was extended until September 30 for a number of prefectures, including Tokyo. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. Back here in the U.S., the calls continue for the Fed to start tapering. Dallas Fed President Robert Kaplan says he would back a September announcement and a possible start in October.
I would love to see us sooner rather than later start taking our foot off the accelerator, because I think the longer we make these purchases for longer than necessary, I think it may actually make it so that we have less flexibility down the road.
Dallas Fed President Robert Kaplan made those comments at a virtual event yesterday, and Bank of New York President John Williams also says it could be appropriate for the central bank to begin tapering its bond buying program this year.
Back at the White House, Nathan, the Biden administration is making a push to grow the middle class. Labor Secretary and former Boston Mayor Marty Walsh says an increase in unions is one way they could achieve that goal.
When you think about the middle class, the decline, if you will, in the middle class, and you look at the decline in the labor movement, they run parallel to each other. And I think if we truly want to have a society where we build a middle class, a true middle class, where enough Americans can get into the middle class, we're going to have to see an increase in the labor movement.
Labor Secretary Marty Walsh made the comments in an interview with Bloomberg's David Westin. For that, more on that conversation coming up in 10 minutes from now.
All right, Karen. And on the earnings front this morning, shares of GameStop are down about 7% in early trading. The meme stock darling posted a wider than expected second quarter loss, and the company also didn't take any questions on its analyst call. Now, on the flip side, shares of Lululemon are up almost 14%. The yoga wear maker boosted its outlook for the year and reported sales that outpaced expectations.
And futures this morning are lower. S&P futures down 10 points, Dow futures down 71, and NASDAQ futures down 27. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, the yield 1.32%. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
6:07 on Wall Street now, 71 degrees under a clear sky in Central Park. For now, let's bring in Michael Barr for more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Nathan. The last thing the soaked tri-state area needs, more rain. There are concerns about possible flash floods after thunderstorms and heavy rain today. Parts of New York and New Jersey are still reeling from the remnants of Hurricane Ida. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy.
We have very saturated grounds in the state right now. So vegetation, trees, foundations, everything is more likely to be easily moved.
Governor Murphy says 27 people died in his state from storm-related deaths a week ago. New York Governor Kathy Hochul says she is pushing for more people in her state to get vaccinated, especially adolescents of age, as school begins across the state. Hochul says at a COVID briefing that there should be enough supply for booster shots for those who are eligible. The governor also says what happened with the vaccine supply earlier this year won't happen with the booster shots.
It was like the Hunger Games. Everybody was trying to get the vaccines. There were not enough available. This is a very good news dynamic right now. There will be plenty of vaccines available for people to get the booster shots.
Governor Hochul says only 50% of kids from 12 through 17 have been fully vaccinated. Saturday marks 20 years since the September 11th attacks. The site of the attack in New York City, where the 9/11 memorial and museum now sit, will be the site of a ceremony remembering the victims. Mayor Bill de Blasio.
As of this moment, there is no specific and credible threat directed at New York City. We have an extraordinary counterterrorism capacity. We are watching all the time. We're going to have deployments all over New York City.
Mayor de Blasio says this year, New York City police will be monitoring the area more closely. A former nurse who co-founded and once ran the cult-like NXIVM group has been sentenced to 3.5 years in prison. Speaking in Brooklyn federal court yesterday, Nancy Salzman said she fell under NXIVM leader Keith Raniere's spell when they started working 20 years ago. The 67-year-old said she's sorry. The sale of new gas-powered cars and trucks will be banned in New York State in 14 years. The legislation signed by Governor Kathy Hochul yesterday sets a state goal to have all New York sales or leasing of new passenger cars and trucks, as well as off-road vehicles and equipment, be zero emissions by 2035. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Just about 6:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stanchak.
All right, Nathan, Novak Djokovic. Two wins from tennis history. Only two, and none in over 50 years have ever done what Djokovic is attempting to do. Win all four slams the same year. Djokovic last night beat Matteo Berrettini four sets, and tomorrow he'll face the red-hot Alex Zverev in the semifinals. Zverev's won 16 matches in a row, including the win over Djokovic in the semifinal round of the Olympics. Women's semis today. There'll be a 19-year-old in one match and an 18-year-old in the other. At the stadium, another Toronto win over the Yankees, third night in a row. Blue Jays led 3-0. A Brett Gardner three-run homer, sixth inning, got the Yanks even, but Toronto went on to win 6-3. The Jays have won seven in a row, while the Yanks, since that 13-game winning streak, 2-9. Mets lost 2-1 in 10 innings at Miami, although Atlanta and the Phillies, two teams ahead of the Mets in the NL East, also both lost. Earlier, Hall of Fame induction day in Cooperstown. It's usually on a Sunday in July. Instead, a Wednesday in September after the ceremonies were scrapped last year. So 20 months after Derek Jeter got voted in, he addressed the crowd that was full of Yankee fans.
There's a huge responsibility that comes with wearing a Yankee uniform. Just because you have it on doesn't guarantee you anything. You know, you have to earn it. You know, you demanded I earned it. Every single day, whether it's during the season or in the off season, I felt as though I was representing you and I was representing all of New York.
Also inducted, Larry Walker, Ted Simmons, and the late union leader, Marvin Miller. The NFL season, Tom Brady's 22nd NFL season, kicking off tonight, Dallas at Tampa Bay. Dak Prescott returns from the injury he suffered against the Giants early last season. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
22 seasons. Unreal. Thank you, John. S&P futures down almost 12 points now. Dow futures down 87. NASDAQ futures down 34 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 1130 weather, like Michael Barr said, just what the New York City area doesn't need, more rain, but it's coming today with highs in the upper 70s. Sunshine tomorrow and Saturday, though. Currently 71 and clear in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. S&P futures lower this morning, down about 12 points. Dow futures down 84. NASDAQ futures down 32. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 1.32%. We're coming up to 6:18 on Wall Street. Time for your daily Bloomberg crypto update. It's brought to you by IBKR. Investment advisors switch to Interactive Brokers for lowest cost global trading and turnkey custody solutions. No ticket charges and no conflicts of your interest at IBKR.com/RIA. Now with the latest in crypto news, here's Bloomberg's Renita Young. Renita.
Karen, right now Bitcoin is flat. It's trading a little bit lower than it was earlier this morning. And it's still, however, nursing losses after El Salvador's glitchy rollout of the cryptocurrency as legal tender. El Salvador had issues with its official digital wallet, but it's since been fixed. So now food and drink franchises, including Starbucks and Pizza Hut, are receiving payments in Bitcoin in El Salvador. And the country now holds 550 Bitcoins after buying the dip. Market players followed suit a little bit earlier as well, which is likely why Bitcoin has recovered some of its losses from yesterday. Other cryptocurrencies like Ethereum and Litecoin are actually a little bit flat as well. Meantime, the Securities and Exchange Commission is threatening to sue Coinbase if the exchange lets customers earn interest on their digital tokens. The SEC sent a warning to other firms already of offering similar products or considering it. This is the clearest sign yet that under Chair Gary Gensler, the SEC will aggressively use its powers to thwart products it's uncomfortable with, even before they launch. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak. Kip.
Renita, thank you. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. The Biden administration is preparing to sue Texas over its abortion law. The Wall Street Journal reports the administration could file a lawsuit as soon as today. The law bans most abortions after about 6 weeks into pregnancy. Major League Baseball, the Mets and Yankees lost. The Red Sox, Nationals, Orioles, A's, and Giants won. Former Yankee shortstop Derek Jeter has been inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Tennis at the U.S. Open, Novak Djokovic is now in the semifinals. NFL regular season kicks off tonight, the Buccaneers against the Cowboys. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 620 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. The White House is looking to unions to grow the middle class. The push was part of an East Room event yesterday in honor of labor unions. Labor Secretary Marty Walsh was there. He joined us after to discuss the effort. Secretary Walsh spoke with Bloomberg's David Westin. Let's listen into that conversation now.
Mr. Secretary, talk about specifically not just labor, but organized labor. What can it do to really improve the situation of organized labor, particularly when it comes to the private sector? Because as we know, that's really trailed off in recent years.
Well, I think we have some piece of legislation like the PRO Act. Certainly the president's been pushing that. I've been pushing that as far as organizing. And I also think that, you know, I think unions, if you look at the poll numbers, first time in quite some time, the poll numbers are very favorable to those unions. 68% of American people think there's a need and a willingness for unions. Millennials' numbers are a lot higher than that, in the high 70 percentile. I think that people, we're at an intersection in our country right now, and I think there is a place at the table for organized labor to really make some gains here. But also, while they're making gains, move our economy forward. This is not the labor movement of the past. This is an opportunity for labor movement to kind of recreate and really, you know, get workers' rights, workers' issues out there in the forefront. So as we're thinking about moving forward, whether it's the American Jobs Plan, the Build Back Better agenda, or the family plan, what people are doing with the pandemic, really seeing the need for organized labor at this point.
So, Mr. Chair, put those two together for us, if you would. On the one hand, the desire to really increase the situation with organized labor. On the other, some of the proposals that are pending on Capitol Hill right now, whether it's the infrastructure, the bipartisan infrastructure bill, or the Build Back Better plan. The president has made it clear he'd like those to go to union jobs as much as possible. How does that work? Is it going to be in the legislation? There should be organized labor?
Yeah, there's some language in this. For example, in the infrastructure bill, there's Davis-Bacon prevailing wage provisions. That doesn't mean it's a 100% union project. It just means that it levels the playing field. But there's also, when you think about the future, it's about job training and workforce development. And organized labor, people can say what they want about organized labor, but the one area that they're far superb is in training, in job training, and skills training, and doing all that. And there's a lot of opportunity here with these two bills as far as job training and training the workers of the future, quite honestly, and the workers of today for the jobs that are in front of them. I think that, you know, when you think about the middle class, the decline, if you will, in the middle class, and you look at the decline in the labor movement, they run parallel to each other. And I think if we truly want to have a society where we build a middle class, a true middle class, where enough Americans can get into the middle class, we're going to have to see an increase in the labor movement. And the labor movement, as they know, in some cases, going to have to change the way that they operate, because it's not a 9-to-5 world anymore. And I think it's a perfect storm right now. I think there's a real opportunity and a real energy and a real willingness to really organize, but also organize the industries that might not be organized, but also understand that their business models are different.
Mr. Secretary, this week not only marked Labor Day, but also marked the end of some of that supplemental unemployment insurance for a lot of American workers across the country. Are you in favor of renewing that or extending it? Or on the other hand, do you think that might help the problem that we're having with labor participation, where we have a lot of job openings, but a lot of people not taking the jobs that are available?
Yeah, we'll see how much of a role it had in labor participation at some point soon here. The states that ended it early, there was about 22 of them. We didn't see any increase in hiring in those particular states or participation. But I do think that, you know, as we get through the virus now, we obviously are dealing with the Delta variant. We want to make sure these benefits were limited. The Congress voted in the American Rescue Plan to limit them till September 6th. September 6th came and is gone. Myself and Secretary Yellen have allowed, I shouldn't say this. We're allowing states, if they choose to see fit, if they need to extend the benefits on a state-by-state basis, they can use rescue plan money, which is really an opportunity for them if they need to extend the unemployment benefit. States are in different places. You'll see certain states' unemployment rate very, very low. and some states are higher. They're still recovering from a pandemic in the very beginning days. So I don't think there's a need right now to extend those benefits unless a state sees fit.
And that's U.S. Labor Secretary Marty Walsh speaking with Bloomberg's David Westin. You can catch their full conversation online at Bloomberg.com. S&P futures down 11.5 points on this Thursday morning. Dow futures down 85. NASDAQ futures down almost 33 points. 10-year Treasuries up 3/32. The yield 1.32% on the 10-year note. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. More rain coming. Some heavy downpours possible with showers and storms expected. Highs in the upper 70s. Sunny tomorrow and Saturday. Both days highs in the upper 70s. Currently 71 in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Six 30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. The Biden administration reportedly is preparing to sue Texas over its controversial new abortion law. That's according to the Wall Street Journal, which says a lawsuit could come as soon as today. And here's White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki.
Our Department of Justice is continuing to look at legal options. Our Department of Health and Human Services is also continuing to look at all options. And the president has made clear that it's a priority to do everything we can to ensure women in Texas have access to health care.
White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki also criticized Texas Governor Greg Abbott for remarks tied to abortion and rape. Abbott said Texas would abolish rape. Psaki said there'd be bipartisan support for that.
Well, Karen, the president is also unveiling a new plan today to tackle the pandemic. And we get the latest on that live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Renita?
Nathan, President Biden will introduce a new set of COVID-19 rules to battle the Delta variant and boost vaccinations across the country. The White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki says the six-pronged strategy will include testing and mandates that depend on vaccination status and ensuring kids are protected in schools. Meantime, hospitalizations have seen some of the highest increases in Alaska and Hawaii. And in Florida, funeral homes are struggling to operate with the rise in COVID-19 deaths. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Renita, thank you. Turning to the markets now, tech stocks led Chinese shares lower overnight as regulators take aim at gaming companies for focusing solely on profit. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong slumped more than 2%, while the broader MSCI Asia Pacific Index fell 1.5%.
And in Europe, Karen, stocks are lower ahead of this morning's ECB decision. Traders will watch for clues on whether policymakers are moving closer to pulling back stimulus.
Back here in the U.S., calls for the Fed to taper are strengthening. New York President John Williams says it could be appropriate for policymakers to start pulling back this year. Dallas Fed President Robert Kaplan said he would back a September announcement and a possible start in October. Futures this morning are moving lower. S&P futures are down 11 points. Dow futures down 79. NASDAQ futures down 31. 10-year Treasury up 3/32. Yield 1.32%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.21%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.25% or 18 cents at $69.48 a barrel. And COMEX gold is up 0.2%. And straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Six 33 on Wall Street. Rain starting in Central Park, where it's 71 degrees. And Michael Barr has more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. The tri-state area is cleaning up from the remnants of Hurricane Ida. And now there are concerns about possible flash floods after thunderstorms and heavy rain. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy says the ground is already saturated and it's more likely trees can easily be moved. Murphy also thanked first responders from Ida's devastation.
Thousands upon thousands of people's lives were saved from the roof of their car or the roof of their house, out a window of their house. Just extraordinary heroism to all the first responders.
Governor Murphy says 27 people died from flooding in New Jersey. The co-founder of Nexium, The purported self-help group for women was sentenced to nearly 4 years in prison. Federal prosecutors in Brooklyn federal court say Nancy Salzman was served time for helping subject women to sexual degradation and abuse. New York Governor Kathy Hochul says she is pushing for more people to get vaccinated, especially adolescents, as school begins across the state. Hochul says that the tried and true prevention measures, including vaccines, prevent people from getting infected.
It's just all about getting vaccinated, wearing the mask. There's nothing brand new about how we're going to deal with this next phase. It's all about having the resources and the tools and the weapons, and we didn't have a vaccination a year ago.
Governor Hochul says only 50% of kids ages 12 to 17 have been fully vaccinated. New York State officially gets a new lieutenant governor. Brian Benjamin will be sworn into office today. The Biden administration is working on getting evacuees out of Kabul. Bloomberg's Ed Maxter reports.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken is urging the Taliban to let evacuee flights leave.
And also, critically, to open HKIA, the Hamid Karzai International Airport, to the regular flow of civilian aircraft.
Meanwhile, evacuees coming in, White House spokeswoman Jen Psaki says security is very tight.
We are not going to allow flights to land where we don't know what security protocols have been taken, whether people have been vetted.
Psaki says terrorists will not get through. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade will return to New York City this year with COVID-19 protocols, including a vaccination requirement for parade volunteers. Macy's and city officials say the November 25th parade will feature the traditional giant balloons and celebrity performers. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Good to see that sign of comeback. Hey. Thank you, Michael. 6:36 on Wall Street. John Stashower is here at the Bloomberg Sports Update.
Nathan, the Yankee slump continues. Stunning, considering they just had the longest Yankee winning streak in 60 years. But since 13 wins in a row, 9 losses in 11 games, Toronto won its 7th in a row, 6-3. The Yanks got a game-tying 3-run homer, 6th inning from Brett Gardner, but that is the only extra base hit they have had in the series, and the Jays scored in each of their last 3 at-bats. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. homered off Aroldis Chapman in the 9th, his 41st home run. The Red Sox won. Boston now in 2nd place, and the Yanks only game and a half ahead of on-rushing Toronto. The series ends tonight. Mets in Miami had only 4 hits. Michael Conforto's 7th inning homer tied the game, but in the 10th, a Brian De La Cruz blast off the wall off Edwin Diaz gave the Marlins a 2-1 victory. A lot of Derek Jeter's former Yankee teammates were there in Cooperstown yesterday. So was Michael Jordan and Patrick Ewing. Jeter, as expected, delivered a well-polished Hall of Fame induction speech.
The great thing about baseball is its history. And that's what makes it so special. Now, during my career, I wanted to make Mrs. Robinson proud. I wanted to make Hank Aaron proud. I wanted to make all you behind me proud. Not of statistics. Proud of how I played the game, how I carried myself, and how I respected the game and those before and after me.
He ran every ground ball out. He referenced Mrs. Robinson. That's Rachel Robinson, not the song. He also mocked the one writer that did not vote for him. At the U.S. Open, just like the Wimbledon final, Novak Djokovic lost the first set to Matteo Berrettini, but he won the next 3, and Djokovic is into the semifinals, the women's semis. One match this afternoon, one more tonight. Dallas and Tampa Bay meet tonight to kick off the NFL season. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
All right, John, thanks. 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market with Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson. Dave, starting us off with some good news, bad news when it comes to earnings.
Absolutely, Nathan. And the good news came from Lululemon Athletica. The yoga wear maker and retailer is up 14% in early trading. Lululemon raised fiscal year forecast for second quarter profit and sales, beat analyst average estimates in a Bloomberg survey. Lululemon's third quarter forecast also topped projections. The not so good news, out GameStop down 7%. The video game retailer and noted meme stock posted a wider loss than analysts projected for its fiscal second quarter. Now, the company didn't discuss its turnaround efforts on a conference call after the results and took no questions.
And speaking of games, Dave, Chinese game makers are under pressure once again this morning.
Indeed they are. NetEase is off 4%. Bilibili down 6.5% in U.S. trading. Chinese regulators summoned these companies and their peers to a meeting and told them they have to end, quote, a solitary focus on pursuing profit, end quote, among other things. Ford Motors down 1.5%. The automaker is shutting down its factories in India, starting immediately. Ford will take about $2 billion in charges for the closings. You have United Airlines down 2%. The carrier is now expecting pre-tax losses for its third and fourth quarters, and it's looking at third quarter revenue being down 33% from 2 years ago, before the pandemic. Sentinel One's off 2%. The cybersecurity company recorded a wider loss for its fiscal second quarter than analysts expected. The revenue beat projections. This is the company's first set of results since going public on June 30th. RH, though, the owner of Restoration Hardware, up 1.5%. The home furnishing seller increased its fiscal year revenue forecast after third quarter sales and earnings exceeded estimates. Then we turn to Boston Beer, down 8.5%. The maker of Samuel Adams Beer and Truly Hard Seltzer withdrew annual forecast, though it did say earnings for this year will trail estimates. It's all about weakness in the seltzer business, and it's going to write off some of its inventory. Certara is down 9%. The provider of drug research technology is selling 20 million shares for itself and insiders, and that sale is equivalent to about a 13% stake. And finally, Rocket Lab USA. You could say it's taking off in early trading, up about 6%. The space launch provider posted first half results. Revenue more than tripled, and its order backlog more than doubled. Rocket Lab signed a 5 launch deal to deploy 25 satellites for France's Canis.
Dad joke quota met. All right, Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson. Thank you, as always. Checking stocks as a whole ahead of the open. Futures are lower. S&P futures down 11 points. Dow futures down 83. NASDAQ futures down 33 points. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. More heavy downpours expected today with highs in the upper 70s. We'll be back in the sunshine tomorrow, upper 70s. Another nice day Saturday, upper 70s. Currently rain and 71 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures this morning moving lower. We get to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are in the red right now, with Dow futures down 100 points. SP's dropped 13. NASDAQ futures are lower by 33. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.32%. Gold is up 6. Bitcoin is little change. And Hong Kong fell 2.3% overnight, while European markets are also in the red this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, initial jobless claims. And after the bell last night, GameStop reported a wider-than-expected loss and took no questions on the earnings call. And Lululemon boosted its full-year outlook. Shares are up 14% pre-market. In other news, HSBC said the Fed may delay rate hikes until after 2023. And wrapping things up, Cisco was cut to equal weight over at Morgan Stanley. And live from the First Word Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Fire and smoke alarms went off at the Russian segment of the International Space Station early this morning. The crew reported noticing smoke and the smell of burnt plastic. Failure isn't a crime. That's the angle defense lawyers for former tech CEO Elizabeth Holmes are taking during opening statements. She's the founder of blood testing device company Theranos, on trial for fraud in California. In Major League Baseball, the Mets and Yankees lost. The Red Sox, Nationals, Orioles, A's, and Giants won. Former Yankees shortstop and captain Derek Jeter has been inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. In tennis at the U.S. Open, Novak Djokovic beat Matteo Berrettini to reach the semifinals. The NFL regular season kicks off tonight. The reigning Super Bowl champs, the Buccaneers, host the Cowboys. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Weak consumer demand could help the economy. I'm Carl Smith, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Forecasts suggest that U.S. consumer demand will fall in the coming months. For an economy with currently slowing growth and rising inflation, that's naturally a frightening prospect. However, there may be a silver lining. The U.S. economy has experienced an intense labor shortage for months, despite the fact that total employment is lower than before the pandemic began. That's led some employers to increasingly turn to automation and other strategies to permanently reduce their reliance on labor. While those strategies may be good for productivity growth, they could spell trouble for workers who want to return to the job market once the pandemic is over. Lower spending now will reduce the pressure for more automation and leave consumers with more purchasing power when the pandemic is finally over. I'm Carl Smith. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPINGO. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. We're at 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Biden calling for a vaccine conference at the U.N. as he lays out a plan to tackle the Delta variant. The White House unveiling a plan to tackle prescription drug prices. And the administration blasting meat packers for what it calls grocery profiteering. Also making news this morning, a federal lawsuit reportedly coming now over the new abortion law in Texas. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins joins us for more on all these stories. Emily, good morning. As we've been discussing in the past, the Biden administration has been feeling some pressure to respond to this new Texas abortion law. And now it looks like court action is coming.
Yes, Attorney General Merrick Garland has been under a lot of pressure from Democrats to try and figure out some sort of method forward where they can really challenge this Texas abortion law that would prohibit abortion after 6 weeks. And this is something where we're still looking for a little details around exactly what the lawsuit is going to be. We also know that the Justice Department has gotten in contact with Texas. They say that there is a federal law that they can use to make sure that those who want access to abortion clinics can have that access. But this is something where it's going to be a little bit of a wait and see. We expect really this issue to be playing out for quite some time, definitely within the next year, as there's sort of this back and forth between Democrats and Republicans over, you know, trying to overturn Roe v. Wade and what the future of abortion laws should be among states.
Yeah, with the possibility of this issue playing out over the next year, that raises the question of the 2022 midterms. But while we await those details, Emily, of course, we are waiting for more details from President Biden this evening on what the White House is calling his robust plan to tackle the Delta variant.
Yes, we're expecting more details from President Biden later today, and we're expecting a several-pronged strategy here in exactly how the Biden administration is now going to continue to face the Delta variant. For a long time, it was a focus on vaccines. That's still obviously going to be in play, but it's also a measure of tackling a lot of misinformation that's been out there, and that's something that we're expecting President Biden to really begin to talk about today. As well as sort of what the next steps forward are going to be. Remember, Nathan, I mean, this is an issue where the Biden administration came in really, really focused primarily on COVID-19 and ending it. And it's been something where initially it seemed like they were meeting their goals, there was light at the end of the tunnel. And then with the rise in the Delta variant, it's suddenly become really difficult for the Biden administration to continue to make the case that they're shepherding the end of this pandemic. And masks are back on, limitations are back in place. But the Biden administration has had a few wins, namely schools reopening, which was one of the big goals that President Biden laid out.
Is there a sense, Emily, that the fact that the Delta variant continues to be an issue is sort of putting the president's overarching agenda, his economic agenda, sort of on hold?
There definitely is some concerns. I mean, I think that one of the reasons that everyone is very closely watching the job numbers now, not that they are always closely watched, but trying to see if the U.S. is getting back on track, if they are getting back to where they need to be. I mean, August, we did not see a really strong jobs numbers report. That's definitely something of concern in the White House and among Democrats, trying to make sure that, you know, this recovery really is working at this point. There are a lot of questions about how things are being done and what next steps need to be taken.
Just this morning, Emily, we got a report that the Biden administration, on top of all this, is getting ready to roll out a plan to tackle prescription drug prices. What are some of the details on that?
So this is something that the Biden administration and Democrats have been working on for a little bit, and it's something we could actually see more of with Democrats and their reconciliation plan. But this has been an issue that's really long been popular on both sides of the aisle. It's been a concern, something that former President Donald Trump attempted to tackle while he was in the White House. So we're going to be getting a little more details on this today, but we are expecting the White House to kind of use what authority they have to try to lower prescription drug prices, give some more leeway for the government to negotiate with Medicaid and Medicare providers over what those prices are for Americans.
All this ahead of the president's announcement later on this evening on his what the White House has called six-pronged plan to tackle the Delta variant. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins, thank you as always for the update. And tune in to Bloomberg Radio, 5 p.m. Wall Street time, when we expect President Biden to roll out that Delta variant plan. Karen.
Nathan, thank you. At 6:55 on Wall Street, it's time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It is brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, number one in the nation for student upward economic mobility and ranked in the top 2% nationally for alumni mid-career earnings. More at njit.edu. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. New York has banned the sale of new gas-powered cars and trucks starting in 2035, joining California in setting the most aggressive plan to cut greenhouse gas emissions in the U.S. The law means all new passenger vehicles sold or leased in the state will have to be zero emissions. The bill also calls for new medium and heavy-duty vehicles to comply by 2045. Researchers who estimate how much of the world's coal, oil, and natural gas reserves should be left unburned to slow the increase in climate-changing gases in the atmosphere say even more of these fossil fuels should be left in the ground. The researchers now calculate that nearly 60% of the world's oil and gas reserves and 90% of the coal reserves need to stay in the ground by 2050 to meet climate goals of the Paris Climate Agreement. The study was published in the journal Nature. And for the first time, U.S. antitrust officials have made public the data they're using to help prove Facebook has monopoly over social networking. The FTC revealed numbers that it says show Facebook is far and away the most dominant social network. The company has said that the case is without merit. And that's a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Taking a look at the markets now, S&P futures are lower, down about 13 points. Dow futures are down 98 and NASDAQ futures down 31. 10-year Treasury of 4.30 seconds, yield 1.32%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.21%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.1%, up 10 cents at $69.40 a barrel. The euro 1.1832 against the dollar. The yen is at 109.90. Bloomberg surveillance is straight ahead. And for Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.